Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
Eros. For those of you who are unaware on what the Greek word eros actually is, I'm going to quickly unpack the other three. We've already hit on these three in our month, Love Is. If you have missed the messages in this incredible series, Love Is, so far, we have spoken about the philia love, a love from a brother to a brother or a sister to a sister, and I'm not talking family, I'm talking one another. We've spoken about agape, the unconditional love of Jesus Christ and Father God to us. We've spoken about storge, which is family love, with Pastor Sam last week. Each of these messages have been absolutely amazing. Can I encourage you to go onto Podbean if you have missed these messages? But today we are going to talk about eros. So we're going to unpack what eros actually is right here at the start. Are you ready? Yeah. Is anybody feeling slightly uncomfortable? I'm glad. This is going to be awesome. Here we go. Eros is sensual or passionate love and the type most akin to our modern idea of romantic love. Eros is not sex, but rather the deep desire to be intimate with someone. Eros is not merely feelings, however. It is passion, desire, and romance that are outworked with action. And all of these are choices that we make to stir up or to leave dormant. This is eros. So with that definition, I have titled today's message, Own Your Eros. Own Your Eros. I haven't seen anybody's notepads come out yet for taking notes. Let me tell you, you're going to want to take some notes this morning. Some husbands, I think, are going to take some notes and pass them along the kitchen bench after the message today. Other wives are going to go, ha! This is what I'm going to ask you to do with the message today. Own your eros. This morning, don't listen for your husband or your wife. Don't listen for your fiance. Don't listen for your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your future boyfriend or girlfriend. I want you to listen this morning for you. This morning, we are owning our eros. To understand the reason why we would give eros a platform this morning in the house of God, we have to break down the two different stages in which eros is actually played out in. And so I would like to best describe these stages this morning as AM and PM. And I'm not talking about the time of day that is better suited for eros to be expressed. Okay? My husband said both. AM and PM, I am actually unpacking this morning as two different stages. And here's my definition of AM and PM. Everybody within this room will fall under one of the categories. AM, you are married. You are married. PM, pre-marriage. And I'm not talking to just young people. You are pre a marriage covenant. So that may be that you have been widowed or divorced, and you are pre a marriage covenant. Still in this house today. AM, are married. PM, pre-marriage. What you may have noticed in my language this morning is I did not say the stages of life without eros. I said each stage requires different action or behaviors. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about this morning. To understand eros, we must first understand what God's design and purpose for it was. Eros was designed to help us cultivate intimate relationships. From the moment we were born, we intrinsically desired intimacy and intimate relationships. This was the God design for all relationships. Intimacy, however, has different expressions for different relationships. Intimacy between a husband and wife is very differently expressed than it is between a parent and a child. Much the same intimacy with God is expressed differently than between a man and a woman. It has different expressions for different relationships and also for different seasons. Here's the key thing about intimacy. Intimacy is pure. Intimacy and purity go hand in hand. And purity cannot be absent for one to experience an intimate relationship. Intimacy is pure, and so intimate relationships are only by definition including just two individuals And this is the self-sacrificing surrender of one's desires to be able to fulfill the other. And the relationship cannot be intimate when others are brought in knowingly or unknowingly into the relationship, either physically or virtually. God's plan for us is to have intimate relationships and for those to be the richest for our lives. So it merits us taking some time this morning to reevaluate if we are intentionally choosing to be purified to make our relationships more intimate and to stop putting up walls and boundaries around our relationships through hurt, unforgiveness, and impurity. God designed our intimate relationships, our relationships, regardless of our seasons and stages, to be open, free, and fulfilling. So this morning, we're going to unpack the AM and the PM of eros and intimacy. Are you ready for this? Anybody ready for this? There's not a lot of yes. Maybe I should start with a key scripture. 1 Corinthians 7 verses 1 to 9 says, "It is good for a man not to have sexual relationships with a woman. But since sexual immorality is occurring, each man should have sexual relationships with his own wife. And each woman with her own husband. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife. And likewise, the wife to her husband. The wife does not have the authority over her own body, but yields it to her husband. And in the same way, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but yields it to his wife. Do not deprive each other, except perhaps by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again, so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I say this as a concession, not as a command. I wish that all of you were as I am." This is Paul speaking. "But each of you has your own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. Now to the unmarried and the widows I say, it is good for them to stay unmarried as I do. But if they cannot control themselves, they should marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion." AMers. I'm going to talk to you first. Give me a wave if you are an AMer. AMers, you are married. Are you ready? AMers, this is what I'd love to say from 1 Corinthians 7, 6. There is a couple of key words in there. And I'm telling you now, some people heard the scripture, felt uncomfortable, and saw the word duty. Today, in our society, for so many married couples, this area of our life has become a duty. But I love the word just before it, fulfill. Fulfill changes the context of what this passage means. I don't know about you, but I would love to see for the marriages of the house of God all over the planet to have fulfillment and not a sense of duty when it comes to their eros. And so as I speak to you this morning, I'm going to ask you to hear this word from your pastor, because I desire for you to have incredibly intimate relationships, because there is a blessing in intimate relationships. There's a strength in intimate relationships. Your intimate relationship is not subject to just you. Your intimate relationship affects future generations of intimate relationships. So I'm going to speak to you this morning in this. What does this mean for marriage? Eros and agape intertwined and working in perfect union together are what God intended and designed when He designed marriage. This means I am eros. I am responsible to own my eros. I must own it and give it to the one I vowed it to. I can't take it back and then hand it to him, and then take it back, and then hand it to him, and then take it back, and then hand it to him when I feel like it. Lust is the satisfaction of fulfilling what I desire when I desire it. Eros is the fullness of satisfying everything my husband desires or everything my spouse desires. I am responsible to stir up eros for my spouse. Passion, sensual desire, and romance are my responsibility for my husband. And if he is unsatisfied, I need to evaluate or reevaluate my Eros distribution. Is anybody else feeling uncomfortable? What husbands are going, woohoo, right now? I know you are. The tithers are going to soar next week. Feel it. Have you noticed this morning I've not yet spoken to Graham and told him he's responsible for my Eros? I am responsible for my Eros. AM girls, I'm going to get really, really specific here. Is this okay? AM girls, put your seatbelts on. Own your Eros. Eros is not a currency to be paid when you feel that you have been valued or loved enough your way. Too many husbands are left unsatisfied and in a place of vulnerability to temptation due to not being pursued, romanced, and having their wives' Eros chasing them. And too many marriages require permission for intimacy, but intimacy is not a currency. And so each person can and should pursue and initiate it. Permission was given when you said I do, and do is an action word. AM girls, stop making the rules in Eros and intimacy. Always love in your vows did not have a secret clause of always dictates when, how, and why. Own your Eros, AM girls. Hebrews 13:4 says, let marriage be held in the highest of honor among you all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled. There are only five things that are unpermitted and defile a marriage bed, and they're not positions. They are fornication, adultery, homosexuality, prostitution, and pornography. Girls, own your Eros. Own your Eros. AM fellas, are the girls like, oh, thank God she's moved on. AM fellas, are you ready for it? Own your Eros. I have to tell you, I asked my husband to help me with this because I am a woman, so I can speak from a woman's perspective, but I needed the wisdom of a man. And for this is the thing that plagues our society and the thing that steals your Eros and robs your wife of your Eros. AM fellas, own your Eros. There is no such thing as a separation of lust and Eros. It is impossible. It is impossible for you to Eros or be intimate with your wife, satisfying her every desire with no concern for yourself when your fuel has been fed by feeding your own desires. Pornography kills Eros and intimacy. And it kills it because you will take your agenda, you will take ideas from, you will take your satisfaction gauge of what you want to happen in an intimate moment based on your previously learned experience from a virtual, non-intimate experience. Basically, in essence, you are teaching and training yourself out of intimacy. And us girls can feel the difference. Pornography is the corruption of Eros. Pornography is from me, for me. But Eros, God's way and God's design, was from me, for you. Own your Eros. Husbands and wives, do you want good fuel? There's good fuel. There are great ways to stir up Eros. This week's challenge, can I encourage all of our AMs, everybody in the AM category, why don't you take some time this week to read Song of Solomon's? You want to stir up some Eros in your marriage? Why don't you go and read? Read it apart and then read it together. Fuel your marriage with great, healthy fuel. Stir your Eros up with the things God designed it to be stirred up with. Everybody can take a breath now. I'm moving on. Are all the AMs thrilled? We're going to move on right now to our PMers. She just said, yeah, let's talk to them. Everybody can fan your cheeks if you've been blushing. It's okay. PMers. 1 Corinthians 7:17, our key scripture said right here at the end, it said, now to the unmarried, and the widows, I say. It is good for them to stay unmarried as I do, but if they cannot control themselves, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. This is what I really want to say, because I'm sure that for many of you, you're sitting here right now and I'm just going to tell you, it's evil and no. All right? And for many of the AMers, you may actually feel that way. I'm going to do it a little bit different this morning. Eros is not evil. Eros was God designed. You are going to experience and feel Eros, probably more fueled in your age and demographic than any other age and demographic. And I'm so glad you do, because otherwise there would be no married people on the planet. Eros is actually a key in which God has given each and every one of us to fall in love with, to desire, to take a deepening step with somebody else in a relationship journey. Eros is not evil, but it is also not lust. And outside of marriage, Eros can often easily be replaced with love, with lust, sorry. Eros is a natural and God-designed way in which we are attracted to one another. This is the way one falls in love or is attracted to somebody. Without Eros, not one of us would have ever really had the desire to deepen or further relationships and thus probably never married. But this time, before you are married, and even while you're engaged, for those of you who are about to embark on marriage, you are in a preparation or a training stage for marriage. And I say that for a reason, because whether you want a great marriage, a mediocre marriage, or a failed marriage, it's determined in this time. You're kind of going, I wonder how. It's not determined in this time because mistakes are made and then it'll do damage in the future. There's so much more to it, okay? In this time, before you are able to give yourself over to the incredible fulfillment of what Eros has for it, you are training and preparing yourself for when the same feelings come in marriage with somebody else. Just like we go to the gym and exercise a muscle, we exercise muscles in this area in a time in which the Holy Spirit, God designed you to exercise a muscle to be able to have restraint, to be able to say no after. The truth is, as many of us think that marriage is the answer and that it'll go away, that we'll stop being filled with Eros to a point of lust, whatever you have learnt in your pre-marriage, in the PM stage, is the actions and the behaviours you will act in the AM stage. Whatever you are strengthening, you will use fully developed in the AM stage. You can't strengthen muscles and not use them in the AM stage. And so this season is such a pivotal time, not of a no, but of a strengthening the ability to one day have the most unbelievable marriage. To have the ability to go, I see it, but I don't need it. I see it, but I'm not going to take it. I see it, but I'm not going to entertain it. Because the truth is, it will still come, but you're exercising in this season exactly your response when it comes along your way. So how do we exercise and strengthen Eros in this season in health? Psalms 119, 9-11 says this, how can a young man, woman, keep their ways pure? By living in the Word of God and walking in its truth. I have longed for you with the passion of my heart. Don't let me stray from your directions, God. I consider your prophecies to be my greatest treasure, and I memorize them and write them on my heart to keep me from committing sin's treason against you. How? How do you strengthen and exercise? Get planted in your word. Young people, let the word of God wash over your world. Let the word of God wash over your world. When you pick up your device, open YouVersion. When you pick up your device, open you version. When you pick up your device, don't press Safari. Open you version. Let the word of God wash over you. Because when that is in your heart, you are strengthening what your future marriage will look like. Church, it's time we own our eros. Own our eros. I want to get really specific with these ones too. Is that okay? PM boys. PM boys. Do I have any PM boys in the house who are a little bit scared right now? PM boys. Own your eros. You never have the right to ask a girl for her eros. Sexting, images, touching, petting, or having sex are asking a girl to hand her eros off to you. Your responses in these times where your eros is felt, godly feeling, natural feeling, but where it is felt, but you cannot yet be satisfied in practicing out what you want to for its fulfillment is what you're practicing out for your future marriage. That will be your response. If you cannot be told no in this season, you will not be told no when you are married. Strengthen the muscles that you require for when you are married, PM boys. Finally, I want to move on to our PM girls. PM girls, once upon a time, when I was younger, when I was a teenage girl, we were encouraged in church to watch the way we dress. And the reason we were encouraged to do this is because I'm not responsible for the response of every male in the room on the way I dress, but I am asked not to cause them to stumble in their walk. I am commissioned to ask them or give them permission or give them a platform. I look at this beautiful row of our gorgeous young adult men. Would we give them, girls, the permission to be the most spectacular husbands one day? But I was asked in my generation to watch the way I dressed. Would I watch how low my top was so that they weren't just staring down it when they were standing beside me? Because the truth is all the boys were taller than me. Do you know what's a great thing to do? Go and stand beside your dad before you walk out the door. Go, am I sharing my eros? Why don't you ask him, am I sharing my eros? Seems funny. But the truth is I don't believe that this dad wants her sharing her eros with Stu, who's taller. Stu, do you want the eros shared? No, didn't think so. But girls, I want to talk to you. That was my generation. That was my generation. Today, a social norm is to post your eros. Do you know that? I'm going to put it out there because I want to say this to preface what I'm about to say. AMers, we can look and shake our heads, but have you spoken? Have you come around a PM girl and told her that she's sharing her eros with your husband? I'm going to give it as an analogy this morning to make it really, really clear. This beautiful cake this morning. Yum. Is my eros. It's Pastor Mel's eros. It's beautiful. It's red. It's like feels a little bit sensual because it's red. It's chocolate. It's a bit, you know, aphrodisiac. All right? But this eros, now in my stage, is actually the belonging of this man. Okay? Said, I love you, eros. okay? And I don't believe that Graham wants to share my eros, okay? This will run out. It's limited. It is actually limited, but it's his. And you might be thinking, but I'm not married yet. That was always there waiting for Graham. That eros always belonged to him. My eros always was covenanted with him because it was covenant with God before it was with him in waiting. He's eating all the strawberries off the top. But can I tell you something? This is what this next generation has done. The next generation, without realizing, and I want to speak it this morning because it's never been spoken off a platform this morning. What we tend to do is we take a bit of eros and we give it to somebody else. And what seems like a really innocent act of going to the beach and celebrating my great body I've been working on in a quick fit of boot camp with Frida for the last 8 weeks, I put up to celebrate for myself, but have no idea I'm also handing my eros to my father-in-law. And he never asked for it. And you might think it's a small thing, but the truth is how do I have authority as a boss when all he's thinking about is my swimsuit? And how do I lead him into worship when the picture he has got of me is of my bust? And you know what's even sadder is I'm trying to influence people in my world and saying, come follow me. But the truth is, the truth is, they never asked for it. And what's in their hand is all they see. One picture gives it to generations who should never have it. And here's the funniest thing. In one hand, I'm loving my brother, saying happy birthday, and handing off my eros into her family as well. But we've separated. There is no separation between love and lust. We have to actually guard it. Because the truth is I'm not just giving it to them. I'll place it in a generation's hands that will carry it and share it to people I will never meet. But one day I'm going to say, would you walk into this house and hear the word of God? And they're going, this tastes better. This looks good. And they're standing here with this on their hands going, this is good. And then I might have an encounter with the Holy Spirit and get a revelation and say, I'm so sorry. It was yours. I'm so sorry. It was yours. I'm really sorry. It was yours. I'm really sorry to a whole generation. It was yours. And this is what my husband got. And the whole front row got cake. Do you know, sorry for those who are still left with cake. Now here's the thing, I'd love everybody who has cake to still show their hands, to hold them up for the congregation. The mark is still there. So even though I have dealt with it myself and I'm moving on and I'm maybe bringing purity into what is this and we start to walk in freedom, I have left my eros with others. PM girls, can I implore you this morning, stop giving out your eros. Every time you give out your eros, you give out your influence. Every time you give out your eros, you're giving away your authority. Every time you give away your eros, you're giving out what God designed for you to have the most fulfilling, incredible, intimate relationship. And so many of our young girls right now go into marriages fearful of adultery later, and they're wondering why, because right now we have a mission as a church that we deal with called She Rescue, which is actually the mission of saving children out of sex slavery. Why do we have sex slavery? It began with the innocent soft pornography of our daughters posting their bodies. Nobody struggles with what we are dealing with in She Rescue as their first stage. They struggle with the sister whose cleavage is always out. They struggle with the girl posting. They struggle with the skirt that's so short they know when they pick the handbag up off the front row, you'll get a glimpse. Stop giving your eros out, girls. Take back your eros. Take back your authority. Take back your womanhood. I'm just going to deal with my hand while you process this for just a moment. There are baby wipes on the front row for those who are left with cake. Don't eat it. I love it because what Joel said is absolutely right. I never meant to struggle with your wife when she tries to bring the word of God. But I'm remembering her swimsuit. I never meant to. Ephesians 5 says, "But sexual immorality and all impurity, indecent, offensive behavior, or greed must not be hinted at among you, as it is proper among saints. For as believers, our way of life, whether in public or private, reflects the validity of our faith. Let there be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse, obscene, or vulgar joking, because such things are not appropriate for believers, but instead speak of your thankfulness to God." In context here, it's not thankfulness for your Sunday lunch. It's in thankfulness for what you have been given, for what you do have. Instead, speak of your thankfulness to God. Church, it's time we own our eros and treat it with honor by not making it cheap or trashy, but be thankful to God for it. And direct it in the right place for everyone. Eros is always satisfied when you have given all of yourself within the bounds of your stage. Lust isn't, but eros is. Because it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. How do we become experts in expressing in our health our eros and love within the boundaries of our stage? How do we express that in health? We've got to become students of the way our intended love language is received. My purpose in life is not to understand how I am to be loved. My sole responsibility is to be a student of how Gray feels love. My sole responsibility is to direct and let him feel it. Not let it be a thing that's unattainable out here, but let him feel it. Do you know that there are 5 really key things? If you need some help today, maybe this is you're sitting here and going, oh my gosh, we are not here yet. There are 5 key ways in which you can become a student, a really good student, and express your eros in health. This can be taken for AMers and for PMers. This is great because it can be expressed within the boundaries of both. Learn the love language of the person it's intended for. Learn it. There are five love languages: words of affirmation, acts of service, quality time, touch, and gifts. Each of these can be expressed really well within the bounds of the stage. Do you know I have a beautiful young man in my life, and I am going to touch him now that I don't have cake. The truth is I actually know that this young man's love language is touch. And so every single time I come into the presence of Jesse, I make sure I'm touching his arm when I'm talking to him. Because there is health that can be done around the love languages. And the truth is if Jesse doesn't experience health, he's going to look for it in places that aren't healthy. We, each and every one of us, are responsible to be students of the love languages, expressing this in health, making sure each and every person who we have relationship with have experiences of intimacy, purity, done in the expressions of love that each and every one of us feel. This morning, we're going to finish out right now. And I've unpacked a bit this morning, but I'm going to pray for each and every one of us this morning. Because this morning you will have heard this word, and maybe this has been a really good encouragement for your stage. Maybe you've learned something, but maybe there is areas of brokenness that you're going, I actually need some adjustments. I need some of this brokenness to be healed and washed by the blood of Jesus. We're going to take a moment in our service right now as the band comes. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and bow your heads. And we're going to just commit our relationships in all of their stages right now into God's hands. Father, right now I pray for each and every person here this morning, AMers and PMers. God, your desire for each and every one of us is to have the most fulfilling, free, intimate relationships with you. I'm praying this morning for our AMers. I'm praying that they get an urgency to stir up eros for one another. I'm praying this morning that you would cause their hearts to turn, for conversations to begin, to shift the fabric of our society and what comes as marriages are the strength and the foundation to your society for a future to be able to sustain godliness in this world. I pray right now that you would begin to speak to every one of us. Encourage us if we need encouragement. Correct us if we need correction. And Lord God, heal all that has been broken in this area. For our PMers, God, I pray right now that you would help them strengthen the muscles that as they prepare to one day be married, give them such a sense that this is a thing from you, but they could distort it if they learn practices that will destroy their marriages in the future. I pray that you would speak to their spirits right now, each and every one of us. God, I pray that the relationships in this house would be the most blessed, fruitful, faithful, freeing, intimate relationships, and that this area would know the difference because of the relationships in this house. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. I pray for you that you have the most incredible week, that you have a blessed week in your relationships. AMers, I pray, and I'm going to get really specific here. I pray that if you are having good sex, it goes to really, 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 really great sex. Because your eros is fueled by godly things for one another. PMers, I pray that you experience healthy eros, that you are touched by it, that each and every one of you are fulfilled and satisfied by somebody who desires you above themselves. That is my prayer for every single child, for every single young adult, for every single divorce, for every single widow. I pray for you that you would be so fulfilled by eros, and sometimes it may be strangers but done in health, touching, giving words of encouragement, gifting you. May you be satisfied as you strengthen out before marriage. Before we move on, I don't want to move on without saying this. We've spoken all this morning about intimate things, but you know, my God.